All right, my name is Pastor B. Wallace.
And I'm Keontae McDonald, and you're tuned in to Simplify Complexity, a relationship podcast.
All right, we want to welcome you if this is your first time listening in. We are a Christian relationship resource where we just try to keep it real. We try to talk about the different complexities of relationships and different things that we might experience, and that it can be a blessing to you, whether or not if you're single, you're dating, if you're searching, if you're courting. There is many different complexities within relationships, and this is a resource to help you.
Right. You know, and I think it's just, you know, good to seek, you know, that especially biblical guidance, because I think in a world right now, we don't really have too many resources where there's actual biblical guidance to help you in that relationship process or in that marriage process and process.
Yeah, that's real good. That's real good. Well, I'm really excited about our topic today. So why don't you go ahead and break that topic out?
So the topic today is titled Waiting or Rushing.
So what do you mean by that? Waiting or rushing?
Waiting or rushing, like when it comes to just this relationship process or even in marriage, or, you know, I guess the gap between that, like that engagement process. You know, I think we should always question ourselves, you know, are we actually waiting or are we rushing this big decision that we're making?
All right. So now I want you to think about that. So if you're listening in and where you're at in your relationship process, I want you to ask yourself, are you waiting or are you rushing? Because I think you were saying earlier that sometimes we can think or believe we're waiting, but in actuality, we're rushing, right?
Right. You know, and I think that happens kind of more, you know, more often than, you know, than not, because sometimes we'll get in these, you know what, I think people just put a time capsule on, you know, well, I waited, okay, it's been 2 months, so after this 2 months, you know, that's enough time.
Right. I've waited just, long enough.
Yeah, you know.
It's like back up off of me.
So. But have we honestly waited, or are we just rushing because we're fighting against this invisible clock that we're all, you know, on time?
Yeah. And as you mentioned that, I feel like there's two major areas in relationships that we rush. And the first one is that we rush into dating, meaning we rush into meeting the possible person that we would like to marry. Because in order, you know, to marry someone, you have to kind of go through who those possibilities. And so we rush into that process of meeting new people or maybe going out on a date, starting that dating process. And we rush into that rather than waiting for God to begin to grow us, for God to begin to mold us. And even in our relationship series, we were talking about the different stages and how important it is that we build on each stage. And one of those stages was being single and satisfied. And many times we rush through that process. So meaning we give our hearts to the Lord and we're super excited, but we don't really want to just go through the process of being single and satisfied. And it's not saying that you're going to be single forever, but what we're saying is you go through a process where you're saying, Lord, I'm satisfied in you. I understand that I'm complete in you. But many times people, they rush into dating, they rush into seeking a relationship because they are unable to find satisfaction in Christ alone.
Right. You know, and it's like another question just to pose is like, what is your identity? Yeah. You know, for yourself first or whatnot. A lot of us, we try to, when we rushing into that, trying to find that possibility with somebody else, we're trying to figure out, okay, do you know who you are? But we haven't yet figured out who we are.
Yeah. No, I want to piggyback on that because, mind you, when you give your heart to Christ, and this is what happens for many of us, is we give our hearts to Christ where you might have even been in church all your life, but there's still a point, whether or not if you were in church all your life or if you recently gave your heart to Christ, where it's different, where you see this relationship different and there's a wholeheartedness and you begin to make life changes and your likes and your dislikes begin to change. And so basically you're not fully sure who you are in Christ. And so you got to go through that process to learn, as you mentioned, who you are. What is your identity in Christ? And as you begin to understand who you are in Christ, then you're not insecure in future relationships, because many times people rush. So we're talking about rushing. Right. You rush into a relationship, you rush into dating, and you begin to take on the identity of the person that you're dating because you don't even realize it. You haven't worked on yourself enough.
And then, you know, even in that sense too, ask yourself this question. In this rush to just find somebody to date, why are you rushing? You know, why do you need to just find this person? You know, is it, you know, a lot of people get caught up in this tier of just, well, I'm just lonely, or I'm just alone, and I need somebody there with me. I need that other puzzle piece right on the side of me,
yeah.
Instead of just being content and, like you said, single and satisfied.
And so, as you're listening to this, I want you to really pray and ask yourself, you know, are you at a place to where you can be satisfied in Christ? And again, it's not, I know somebody's thinking like, does that mean that I don't want any? No, we're not saying that you're not wanting or desiring something more in the future, but you're at a place to where you can recognize that if God, if you don't give me anything else, you're enough. And we want to come to that place to where we can understand that we're complete. And I want you to understand that word, you are complete. In Christ, you don't need anything else to complete you but Christ. You don't need a man. You don't need a woman. And if you're not at a place to where you can find completeness in Christ, then you need to wait.
Exactly.
You need to slow down because you're going to lose yourself in somebody else.
Man, and that's the worst thing to do, getting lost, you know what I mean, in that. Because then if you haven't yet found yourself already, you just get lost. It's kind of harder to come back and then try to find yourself, you know, when you're in that maze.
Well, you actually end up resenting the person that you're dating or that you're in a relationship with. Because what was once cute or the compromises that you made in order to be in that relationship, you begin to resent them because you really didn't like what they liked. You just consumed what they liked because you liked them. And you had a mix of identity.
Right. And another thing, too, I'm going to point out or, you know, pose a question to, you know, ask yourself is, you know, behind this, you know, why I need to be with somebody and why I need to be in a relationship, is it drawn from social, you know, statuses things that we see on TV or we see on the radio or even our peers, our friends, you know, well, all my friends have somebody, so I need to get somebody.
Right. Now, that's a great point, because how many people are rushing into something because they see what other people are doing. And in as simple, stop looking at other people and look at Christ. And so one of the stories that we were talking about as far as what can happen when we rush rather than wait, I think we were talking about Abraham. And God had promised Abraham. Now, mind you, and I like this because God promises that he'll meet our needs. Now, not all of our wants. You got to separate the two. There's some things that you want, but we're talking about our needs. And so God says he'll meet our needs. And so here it is. God had promised Abraham a child, a seed, and through his seed, all the world would be blessed. But over time, it wasn't happening within the timetable of Abraham. And so he began to have anxieties as he was going through this. And as a result of these anxieties, he began to rush. And in rushing, he ended up marrying Hagar, who was his wife's handmaid. And that just brought extra drama.
Oh, yeah. It brought a lot of drama, you know. And in that rushing period, it's just like, if you had, you know, rushing versus waiting, once you put a rush to something like that and you try to put your hand all in the mix, you know what I mean? It just causes chaos. You know what I mean? Instead of just taking that patient route. And, you know, in Abraham's position, you know, actually just leaning and relying on God, like, okay, you know what I mean? He's going to come through for me. You know what I mean? He's going to give me Isaac. It's not going to be right now, but it's going to be down the line. But instead, when you rush, you get an Ishmael. Yeah. You know?
So yeah, that's good. And so you have to ask yourself, are you putting your hands on it? Are you making it more complicated? So now let's get into the second area that sometimes we rush into rather than waiting. And this is that where you are in a relationship. So you've gone through the process of waiting, and there's many Christians. I think this really messes up Christians because they waited on the Lord. They were single and satisfied. They were patient. And then they went through the process of doing it right to meet this person. And they met the person, and they've been staying celibate, and they've been waiting and trying to do it God's way. So now they're in a deep relationship. They're in that courting process. So they're beyond dating. They're beyond friendship, but they're now courting. And then in that courting process, they rush it. So I met the right person. You're the one. And now, okay, let's get married. And you rush into that rather than waiting and going through the process. Because here's the thing. If they're the one, right? And you're going to marry them. And let's say you're engaged. Where are they going?
Exactly.
Well, why do you have to rush through an engagement? And so there's two ways that you can do this. You can go through the courting process where you might be courting for 6 months to a year, maybe to a year and a half, and maybe even 2 years. And so let's say if you were courting for 6 months, then you get engaged. Well, don't rush the engagement. Right. So you've only really known this person in, at a serious level for about six months. And so now here it is, after 6 months, you're going to get engaged, but then you're going to get engaged, you're going to get married, what, 6 months later? Mm-hmm. So what, you've really only known each other for a year, maybe a year and a half? And so don't rush into that. What are your thoughts there, man?
Man, you know, I'm totally on board with you on that one. You know, we just need to take that time, especially in that engagement period, because like you said, there's that courting 6 months. You're really getting to know somebody, or how you put it, your data collecting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then once you get into that engagement space or whatnot, we do tend to rush that. And then we do need to be patient in that moment. But then you have to ask yourself, too, what factors are driving me to rush this engagement?
Yeah, because where are they going?
Exactly.
Because marriage is for what?
Marriage is forever. It's for life.
For life. And so if it's for life, then why do I need to rush to get married? Because they're not going anywhere. And so rather give time, be patient, wait on the Lord. But so why do people rush?
You know, I think it's a number of things, but I think one of the major key things is desire, temptation, or, you know, for a better word, it's the sex.
Yeah. Because I'm a Christian. Right. I was single and I was waiting on the Lord. And even in my dating process, I wasn't out there just having sex with people. Right. So I was waiting and I'm not having sex. And then what? I find him.
Meet that person.
I find her. So you find that person. And as you find that person, it's like, oh, they're the one. And
It's go time.
We got to let the hurry get this bad boy going, and let's get married, because I got, you know, some temptations rising up in me. But what's interesting about that is, what is the motivating factor?
Exactly. It's that, like, outer shell, that physical.
Physical. You know what I mean? So now the physical has taken over and it's moving the relationship rather than Christ. Mm. And I think even more so, you were talking about an interesting point about love. And many times people will say that they want to get married. How are you saying that?
Yeah, most people will say, like, well, you know, if you ask the question, well, why are you marrying this person? Well, because I love this person. Or, you know, we're in love, you know, and so this love is what's driving this marriage. But, you know, when we think about love, love in itself is already kind of a confusing idea in itself.
Because I'm in love.
Yeah, you know, it's like, well, you know, what does that mean? It's like everybody has a different, you know, definition of love. But when it comes to love, especially in this conversation, I think we should always just revert back to the scriptures. You know, when you think about 1 Corinthians 13, you don't even have to go through the whole list of every, you know, love is this, love is that. Let's just start off in the first three letters.
All right,
love,
let's do it.
Is patient.
Love is what? Say that one more time.
Love is patient.
So now how do we apply that to rushing or waiting?
You know what? When it comes to just that patience. Oh, okay. Look, this is an analogy that I was thinking about. When it comes to life and normal things that we do, especially like when it comes to marriage is a huge decision. You know, I mean, I think it's one of the most huge decisions you're going to make in your. It is the most huge decision you're going to make in life, other than giving your life to Christ. Yeah. You know what I mean? It trumps buying a house for the first time, buying a car for the first time. But what happens in life is we go through practical things. Like, for instance, let's take getting a car. The process of getting a car, right? First, you need to get your license. So in order for you to get your license, you know, you got to take some months to kind of study for that test, right? Then you take the test. Then you pass the test. Now that you pass the test, you got to get some practice in on behind the wheel before you take the behind the wheel test, right? And then after you finish that, they grant you your license and you're okay to drive. So now you go and get that car. But when it comes to marriage, it's as simple as just going down to a courthouse and just saying, well, we need to get this license. And you just pay a fee and that's it. You get a license. So the contrast in that, what I'm trying to make is, when it comes to like a car, sometimes we put more time into figuring out how to drive and get our license and to get that car.
Right, buy the right car.
Yeah, other than, you know, getting married. We just, It's a snap of the fingers almost.
But even more so, how many people have rushed into buying a car and it was a bad decision? They regret it. They're in debt and there was a limit. just all kinds of issues. They really couldn't afford it, but they just rushed into it. And many of us don't think about the cost of marriage. And so you take your time. Yes, you found that person. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful feeling. But then you have to understand what you are feeling. And so you just mentioned about love. Love is patient. Well, we confuse love, which is defined by Christ, when Jesus, I give you a new definition of love. This is how I want you to love one another as I have loved you. So whatever definition of love you were working with, you need to reevaluate it because Jesus redefined it in that scripture in the Gospel of John. And so he says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you, which is sacrificially. Well, we have the feeling of being in love or falling in love, which is different because that's actually a euphoric feeling. Mm-hmm. It's euphoria. And euphoria is where you're excited about something. You're extremely happy about something. Right. And so just imagine when you're really, really excited about maybe going to a Laker game or maybe really, really excited about getting a car. Well, sometimes you rush. And that's what ends up happening is we need to understand what are you feeling at that moment. It's not love is patient. And so if you're feeling like I need to rush into something, that's euphoria. That's not love. That's euphoria. And so you have to begin to separate those two.
Right. That's like that euphoria. It's just like it's that chemical reaction in your body.
Yeah.
You know, like when you think about adrenaline. You know, when you act off adrenaline, you kind of do things that you would normally kind of analyze first and then do it. But when adrenaline kicks in, you're just gung ho with something.
Okay, and you're still building in that engagement process. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, what we're trying to encourage you is you need to make sure that from the time you're courting to the time that you actually get married, and so you have courting, engagement, and then marriage,
right,
there should be a good time there. And so look at that. So if you have a short courting process and then you get engaged, then you need to have a long engagement. Mm-hmm. If you have a long courting process, so let's say that's for a year and a half, 2 years, then you've spent time knowing one another. You've spent time waiting and being patient with one another to learn one another. And so it's acceptable to have a short engagement because you've been together. If you look at all the time together, it's been 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And I also want to say I'm careful to, I don't want to say that every marriage that gets married quickly or the couple gets married quickly is going to fail or it's going to be, it's not going to work.
Right.
But you're definitely going to deal with some complications.
Oh yeah, you are.
Many times they don't work out because they rush. And so we're just trying to share this to say, wait on the Lord. That's scripture, right?
Yeah, that's scripture. You know, and even just, I'll say for me, just
right, because you got testimony, right?
My own life experience, you know. At the age of 19, this is the age when we decided to get married. We were dating since me and my wife, I'm talking about. We were dating since we were 17 or whatnot. But even in that,
what did you know at 17?
Yeah, you know what I mean? At 17, to start dating. What did I know at 19? You know what I mean? It's not even what I just know in the world, but what did I know in
about
Christ?
About yourself.
You know what I mean?
Single and satisfied.
Like, what did I know, you know, exactly at 19? But we made that decision, and just like you said, you know, you're going to run into some conflict.
So it got complicated.
Oh, yeah. It got complicated real fast.
But praise God that you were both able to seek him
right,
to find his peace and ability to bring, you know, goodness out of what you guys rushed into. But you want to be careful because it doesn't work out for everyone like that.
It doesn't. You know? And sometimes, you know, people will rush in relationships. And, you know, when you go through this courting process and this engagement process, you know, just like I said, Brian says this is it's like that data collecting period. Sometimes people get in that process and sometimes you collect data, but you don't collect enough data that you need. Or I've heard people get into instances where they're with somebody and they think that this person is this way. But then once they get married, now they're a whole different person. But then I ask that question, are they really a whole different person or did you not collect the data that you're supposed to in that courting phase?
Because you were too excited.
Right.
So, well, and as that, as we close, I wanted to maybe talk about some things that we can do to help us to wait. So we talked about, you know, the difference between the two as we rush into things, but it's way different when you're in it.
Right.
So somebody, you're in it and you're like, am I waiting? Am I rushing? Well, what's happening? Well, there's three things I want you to look for that I was prayerful about. And the first one is your foundation in Christ. Do you find yourself not praying as much? Do you find yourself not reading your Bible as much? Do you find that you're not in fellowship as much? That means you're getting disconnected from your life source. You're getting disconnected from the Holy Spirit, who's going to help you to see what you cannot see. And so you want to look at those things and say, if I'm rushing, how much time am I spending with God? The third thing that I was looking at was, I believe it was separating. So understand, and we just kind of talked about a little bit of that, what's going to help you to wait and not rush is separate your euphoric feelings from reality. And so just know what you're feeling and what that is. And it's excitement. It's okay to be excited. That's a beautiful thing, to be excited about someone, to have that feeling of falling in love. It's a beautiful thing. But separate that from reality. Meaning, oh, I'm in love. She's the one. It's like, you've only known each other for a week. You know, so slow down. That's not love. That's euphoria.
Right.
And so you got to separate that from reality. What's the reality of the situation? And you just said it. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's the reality of it. And the third one is your community.
Mm.
Your community, those people around you that will help you to see that you're rushing. But many times we are so into ourselves we see what we want. And we begin to push people away because, well, I don't need you. I know what I like. I know what's going on.
Right.
And that's one of the worst decisions we'll make, because the Bible says that there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Mm. And so you want to be able to have that. I think you had a scripture, if you could find that. I think it was Proverbs 15. But in Proverbs, do you have that?
So Proverbs 15:22, it says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed.
And so that's deep. So you have plans in relationships. You have that plan. You have it all worked out, and you guys have gotten together, and you guys have your plans. But the Bible says your plans will fail without counsel. And so we want to seek that counsel, and that's what your community does. And so who are your spiritual fathers? Who are your spiritual brothers? So they might not be a spiritual father, but a spiritual brother, that spiritual person that you can come and introduce that man to. You can introduce that woman to. Who are your spiritual mothers? Who are your spiritual sisters that can have your back and say, slow down.
Right.
Just be patient. They might see things that you don't see. You have any thoughts on those three?
Man, I totally agree on that, you know. And I think, you know, just that last part, that community part, that's just so key. You know, because like you said, a lot of times when we get into those situations where we're rushing, sometimes we'll kind of think, I might be a little rushing, but you know, I mean, I know exactly what I'm doing. We really do need that counsel, and it's really dangerous, like what you said, when you have that, when you do have counsel, but people aren't telling you what you necessarily want to hear. So then you start to push them away. Okay, they're not for me because they're not saying
we're in love. Yeah. This is love,
you know. They're giving you advice for a reason. You know what I mean? And the wise person is going to take heed to that advice.
The wise person is going to take heed. And so how are you maybe getting upset with somebody in your circle because they're telling you what you don't want to hear? Have you taken what they told you to the Lord? Let me ask you, do you trust them in their connection with God? And so if you trust their connection with God, because mind you, there's bad counsel. But if you know someone to have a connection with the Lord and to give wise counsel, and all of a sudden they're not telling you what you want to hear, well, you need to go to your prayer closet and say, Lord, I trust this person. And so don't just brush off their counsel. Listen to it. Wait. Where are they going? Good. You wanna finish in prayer? Finish this in prayer?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, if you're just... if you're listening to this and, you know, you may be in that situation, whether it's in the relationship process or just that engagement courting process leading into marriage, You know, just stay encouraged on the wait. You know, that's what I just want to focus on. But Lord, we just want to come before you, Father. First and foremost, Lord, just Lord. Thanking you, Father, for your word, Father. You've placed your scripture here, Lord, in your word, Father, for guidance for us, Father. And just for us to read, Father, and just intake your knowledge, Father, on what you would want us to do, Father, and how you want us to handle certain situations, Father. But I just pray for those, Lord, that are under the sound of my voice right now, Father, listening to this podcast, Father, that you just help them, Lord, to navigate, Father, through that area, Father, of am I waiting, Lord, or am I rushing, Father? Allow them to understand what your word says in 1 Corinthians 13, Father. Love is patient, Father. And if you're going to make this big decision, just to rest in the fact of being patient, Father, just being patient and waiting on you, Lord. And I just ask that you just to give those that are listening, Father, just a clear mind, Father, just to bless them, Lord, with wise counsel around them, Father, just to interact with, Father, and just to, you know, extend some knowledge along the way, Father, on what you should be doing or what you shouldn't be doing, or, you know, maybe this is that or this is not that, or, you know, are you rushing or are you waiting, Father, just to bless them, Lord, with the people in the circle, Father, that are going to help them to get through this, Father. And also, Lord, just the person itself, Father, just bless them with wise discernment, Father, on what they should be doing and what they should not be doing, Father, on, you know, just taking the time that they need to make this big, great decision that they're making, Father. So I just ask that you just continue to bless us, Father, just to be with us, Father, just to help us all, Lord, and just seeking you first, Father, most of all, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, and it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, we want to thank you guys for joining us. You can always go to the website to find more resources on relationships. We have a blog that we do, mm-hmm. and just many different things. We have videos. You can always also catch some of our older podcasts. So you can go to simplifycomplexity.org. That's simplifycomplexity.org. So God bless you and keep you guys. Come on, stand up, stand put your hands up, make some noise, party with me. It's a family reunion in my family. There's no place I'd rather be or people I'd rather see. Where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going.